They don't really want to upset the apple cart, not as long as they're getting their pick of the apples. But if and when we cause them enough trouble, they'll stomp us flat and to hell with the Third World, to hell with trade balances, and the media, and everything else except Soviet domination of the whole world and everybody in it. Yamagata searched his friend's face for a silent moment, then said firmly, "Dan, get a good night's sleep. You will see the world differently in the morning." Dan forced a smile. "Sure. Good advice." Yamagata's hand reached forward, and his three-dimensional image suddenly winked out, leaving Dan alone. It was almost fully dark now. The living room was deep in shadows. Dan reached for the whiskey bottle and refilled his glass. "Get a good night's sleep," he mumbled. "Sure." He swung his legs up on the sofa and leaned back into the comfortable pillows. He closed his eyes and tried to make his mind a blank. But he saw Pete Weston, his left eyeball an empty socket dripping seared flesh, a thin, bloodless line cutting across his high forehead, his mouth still open in a silent final gasp of surprise and pain. The robot butler trundled to within precisely 10 centimeters of the coffee table's edge.
"Sir, there is a visitor waiting in the foyer asking to see you."
"Nobo's here already?" Dan wondered. He sat up, and the impact of the Jack Daniels made his temples throb. "Show him in and turn on some lights." The robot pivoted noiselessly on the thick carpeting and wheeled toward the door. Lamps, recessed into the ceiling, threw pools of light against the paintings that decorated the walls. Dan got to his feet and tightened the belt of his robe. His slippers were either under the coffee table or under the sofa. He had no intention of searching for them. But it was not Nobuhiko who followed the butler's stubby metal form into the living room. It was Lucita. "What are you doing here?" Dan blurted. She was wearing a simple short-sleeved black frock, as if in mourning. Her hair was loose and flowing. In the subdued light, Dan could not make out the expression on her face.
"I came to see if you are all right," she said. Her voice was low, uncertain, questioning.
"I'm still alive." Lucita took a few hesitant steps toward the sofa. The robot stood immobile, its task accomplished, and no new jobs assigned to it.
"It was so horrible," Lucita said. "Look, my hands are still trembling."
"Never seen a man killed before?" Dan's voice sounded harsh, bitter, even to himself.
"No, I..."
"Your boyfriend did it, you know."
"Vasily? He was trying to murder you, wasn't he?"
"He's not that sweet," Dan said. "He's killed 3 friends of mine. He'll kill more."
She seemed dazed. "Can I... may I sit down?"
Dan could not understand the anger burning inside him. He crossed the space separating them in 3 swift strides and grasped her by the shoulders.
"What's your game, Lucita?" he demanded. "What the hell are you doing here?" "I don't know," she said. "I'm frightened."
Now he was close enough to see her eyes glistening in the faint light, filled with tears.
"You're in no danger."
"He wants to marry you, not kill you."
"Frightened for you," she said.
The tears spilled out, and she broke into sobs. Dan pulled her to him. She leaned her head against his chest, crying, and let him fold his arms around her.
"One moment he was alive, and then...
"Don't," he snapped. "Don't bring it up again. He's dead, and there's nothing that words can do about it."
"But I thought they were trying to kill you. Even as your friend was falling to the ground and the car was speeding away, the only thing in my mind was that they were going to kill you, too."
"No, I'm safe." "For the time being," Dan added silently.
"I know that Vasily did it. He hates you. He wants you dead."
"The feeling is mutual." Lucita pulled away from him slightly.
"You must not let him kill you. You must not."
"Why not? What difference does it make?"
"Because I love you,"
Lucita said, her eyes widening with sudden realization of the truth of it.
"I love you, my Yankee. I could not stand to see you killed."
Dan's mind spun.
"Love me? You love me? You are the only man in all the world worth loving. How could I love anyone else?"
"Lucita." He pulled her to him again and kissed her, while a voice inside his head marveled.
"She loves me. This beautiful, spoiled, fragile girl actually loves me." "Would you really steal me away?" she asked breathlessly. Would you build me a palace like the Taj Mahal, or a city at the bottom of the sea?
Whatever you desire, Lusita Mia, Dan whispered. We can go off to the Himalayas and search for Shangri-La together, or build a spacecraft that will take us out among the stars.
Looking up at him, she smiled, and Dan could feel her warm young body relaxing in his arms.
I have never seen the Taj Mahal, Lusita said, or the pyramids, or the Golden Gate Bridge.
You will, he promised. You'll see them all. Sugarloaf, the Parthenon, the Eiffel Tower, Tahiti, Victoria Falls, I'll show them all to you.
The whole world?
Everything. Italy alone can take 10 years. And New Zealand, the most beautiful spot on earth, is the South Island.
And the Great Wall of China.
And New York. Can we see the Statue of Liberty?
Dan felt his blood run cold.
The Statue of Liberty?
Sure.
But the enthusiasm had drained out of him. If they haven't torn it down by the time we get there.
She realized that she had touched an open wound.
I'm sorry, Lusita said. As gently as he could, Dan released his grip on her and gestured toward the sofa.
It's all right, Lusita. Not your fault.
He grinned sardonically, remembering an old cliché. Being in love means never having to say you're sorry.
She sat like a kitten, legs tucked up under her. Dan thought briefly about turning on more lights, decided that he preferred the shadows, then sat wearily beside her.
Would you really take me all around the world? She asked, curious as a child on Christmas Eve.
Forever and ever, Dan said, trying to recapture the elation he had felt so briefly.
We'll make our home in a seaplane, a flying houseboat, so that we can go wherever we want to and never leave home.
That would be marvelous.
Yes, he quoted. Isn't it pretty to think so?
She reached up to touch his cheek.
Dan, I will go with you wherever you want to go. I do love you.
He took her hand in his and kissed it.
And your fiancé?
She tossed her head. I never loved Vasily. No matter how I tried to fool myself, I know that I could never marry him.
More softly, Dan asked, And your father?
I don't care, Lusita said. He is interested only in his own ambition.
Dan took a deep breath.
You're really serious about this.
I love you, Yankee, she repeated. I have tried not to, but it did no good. I love you.
Lusita, yes?
There were 1,000 things whirling through Dan's mind, words that he wanted to speak to her, promises that he wanted to make. But he heard himself say only, We can have a beautiful life together, Lusita, once I have finished this business with Malik.
Even in the darkness, he could see her eyes widen.
Her breath caught, and she pulled back from him.
Finish your...
You mean you'll fight against him until he kills you?
Or I kill him, Dan said woodenly, whichever comes first.
While I sit and wait for the victor to claim me as booty?
Lucita's voice was hot with sudden anger.
Shaking his head, Dan asked, Do you think he'd just let us run off and...
He stopped. The thoughts racing through his mind coalesced into one terrible, overwhelming realization.
What is it? Lusita asked.
He stared at her, speechless, numb.
Dan, what is wrong? What?
He understood everything now.
And the cold numbness that had made him feel so weary, so hopeless, was boiled away in an instant by a rage so intense that his hands clenched into fists, and he could feel his heart thundering.
You're doing it for them, Dan said, his voice shaking with fury.
You're trying to get me out of the way, out of Caracas, away from Astro.
What are you saying?
While I'm joyriding with you around the world, they'll be taking over Nueva Venezuela, Astro, all the third world facilities. While I'm busy giving all my attention to you.
No.
Dan gripped his thighs as hard as he could, forcing his hands to stay away from her.
A lovely little Delilah. That's what you are.
Leave me off around the world while Malik and your father wipe out everything I've worked to create.
Dan, no, that is not what I...
He sprang to his feet, banging against the coffee table and knocking over the half-empty bottle of whiskey.
And what did they promise you? He demanded. Money? The undying gratitude of the Politburo? A good seat at the Moscow Ballet every year?
Would Malik still marry you after you'd done your work on me?
You're insane, Lusita snapped. How could you think that I would do such a thing?